Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Welcome to a Super Bloom podcast. I am Candace King, your host, and you, my listeners, you asked and ye shall receive. We have a member of the TVD universe coming to hang out with us today. The one, the only, the Vampire Barbie herself, Claire Holt. I absolutely love Claire. I adore her. I couldn't love my blonde bestie anymore. I'm so excited to be able to hang out with her, talking all kinds of things. Claire just recently announced that she's having baby number 3. So I finally get to say congratulations. We're going to deep dive into some fun Vampire Diaries memories and talk about the originals and our time on Legacies. We're also going to touch on Hidden Signal Evergreen, which is a new project of Claire's. It is a podcast anthology series. You guys can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. Highly recommend it. There's Alan Cumming and Lana Condor is also voice actors in it. If you don't already follow Claire on social media, go check her out at Claire Holt on Instagram. And if you love and adore Claire's style as much as I do, she talks about all of her fashion choices on thecornerbyclaire.com. It's her blog. We're also going to talk about that today, but truly go over there. I mean, first listen to the episode because I want you to hear her talk, but then right when you're done, go over to thecornerbyclaire.com because I'm going to, because I want to wear this entire perfect summertime Nancy Myers, you know, themed ensemble that she has on and basically be Claire. That is kind of my goal throughout this entire conversation. It's like, how can I be Claire by the end of this episode? But so stay tuned and you'll hear how.
I'm like barely pregnant. I don't understand.
How far along are you?
17 weeks. Oh
my gosh. Weeks. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Congratulations. And it's a little boy?
It's a boy.
Another little dude.
Little guy. Another one.
Oh, it's the best. I also just want to point out that you look like you're in a freaking Nancy Myers movie right now. You've got like this idyllic, like white ensemble,
like Nantucket, like
given all the Diane Keaton vibes, and then these like chic glasses with the blowout. You're an Aspen.
co-working space that I'm doing.
While I am in, I'm in a closet with Christmas lights strung up behind me. Just,
what are they behind you?
These are also blankets and some trash. Mm-hmm. And I just moved and I have yet to set anything up. So I've been running around all day with boxes and errands and then and I'm just still in workout clothes.
Great.
So much hair on my body that has not been shaved in weeks. Just really.
Same.
The stench.
I only shave my leg hairs when they're clearly visible, and I've just been living in pants, so it's fine.
But I feel like your leg hairs would be invisible. They would just—you would have those sheen, shiny little leg hairs that no one can see.
No, they're blonde, but that's deceiving because they get so long. I think I'm fine, and then I look and I can braid them, and I'm like, they have to go. They've got to go.
I mean, I think that's a great with three kids soon to have officially three kids. That's a great activity to keep them busy. If you ever need to be guys,
just get them to do it.
Just get them to do it.
I
miss you and adore you. And it has been way too long. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. And you've been busy, girl. You have been working. You've been mama-ing. And you've been splitting time in all these different cities. Miami. I know. I mean, it's just one closet to the next closet, really, over here. You're in much more glamorous situations these days.
I don't know. I think maybe it just looks glamorous on the outside. It does not feel glamorous on the inside.
I mean, you grew up in a family of a lot of kids.
Yep. One of four.
I forget. Where do you fall in the ages?
Two.
You're the second oldest or the second?
Second and the second of four. Second oldest.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think you're going to go for it?
If you asked me 2 days ago, yes. And then yesterday I was like, oh, hell no, there's no way. So it changes every day. I think it's just going to be one of those things that it magically happens or it doesn't.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And I forget, how old is your oldest now?
He's four. He's going to be five in March. So
he's probably not there yet. But my oldest, my seven-year-old, Florence.
Who I'm obsessed with, the little actress.
She tells me every day, she's like, Mom, you have to get another job because then I get another job.
Is that what she wants to do?
She had a really good time when she came to do Legacies. And I panicked because at first I completely pitched the idea when Brett called me, who's the showrunner of Legacies. And he was like, this is what we're thinking. And I'm like, I'm in, but my only catch is I want you to write in a little wee bit part for a precocious little 7-year-old witch. And because I was pregnant and with the twin character, which would have been the twin characters, it's kind of a nice full circle. I thought to have Florence there with me and on screen.
Heaven.
And they loved that idea. And Alowitz was directing, Michael Alowitz, who directed many, many episodes of Vampire Diaries and Originals, and also worked on our show as well as AD. But Alowitz was directing, and it was time for Florence to have a little scene. And he comes up and he's like, does she know, can she do this? Does she understand a mark? And she's good, right? She knows what she's doing. And I was like, oh yeah, totally, totally. And then he walked away and I just had this moment of panic of oh shit, I have no idea what she's going to do. We might be here for hours. No idea. And she nailed it. She nailed her mark every time. She had a little other scene that got cut.
Did you rehearse together?
No. She just got told by Michael what to do. I know. And so now she gets very upset when I get recognized and she does not get recognized.
It's so funny. I think about it all the time. What am I going to do if my kids come home and say, I want to be an actor or an actress?
What would you
say? Scary prospect. I mean, I say, sure. And then in my head, I think, please don't choose that. Please don't choose that.
Yeah. I keep saying sure, you can do it, but I'm not and she's so are you getting me auditions? I'm like, uh-huh, totally. No, mommy is not.
Could you imagine schlepping them to auditions? When we started, you would go to many a week. Can you imagine driving kids around to audition and practicing with them? And no way. I'm not doing that.
Is wild. I interviewed Christy Carlson Romano a couple weeks ago, and she started as like a child actor and is very vocal about like her experiences at that time. And just like hearing her experiences, like this young child and this pressure in this adult world and like being, it's insane. And even like Jeanette McCurdy's book is a whole other wild ride in no. like glimpse into child acting. But you were young when you were on H2O. And that's the funny thing. Is Florence loves that show. She watches it all the time. Yes. She loves it. Loves it.
Bliss. I'm just waiting for the day that my daughter thinks I'm cool. And I think I've got a few more years and then it's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, I was 16, so I wasn't that young, but I was maybe too young to be doing it.
Yeah.
Now that I look back.
It's just like when everyone decides that when we're all 18, we're suddenly adults. It's like, yeah, like at 16, we could technically drive. Should we be driving? Probably not.
That's how I feel about it. You know, it was like this amazing experience, obviously, but I was still a kid and I was trying to finish high school and I was filming all day long. And I think we would have these like 4:30, 5 a.m. pickups. And then I would come home and I would study until like 11, 12 o'clock at night. I was like not sleeping anywhere near as much as I should have been. And it was awesome. And I'm so grateful because obviously it like gave me my start and I would not have any of the other jobs that I had if it hadn't been for that show. But I just think that maybe I was a little too young to really like work that many hours. There's a lot of hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even when we were adults working those hours, we've had to now look back and be like, that's probably not safe for anyone to drive a car after a 19-hour day.
You've been on set for that many hours. I remember sticking my head out the window and like blowing the cold air on my face, like slapping myself so I didn't fall asleep. Not safe.
I'd be like listening to like old Papa Roach or Ludacris or something to be like, stay awake. Blasting the air conditioner. But at least with H2O, when your daughter starts watching it, like it's mermaids. So I think no matter what you're going to be in, it's cool. It's like safe. You know what I mean? It's not like this. Right. It's whereas like Florence wants to watch Vampire Diaries and I'm like, oh no, I don't want to have to explain what, you know, Mr. Ian is doing to mommy in episode 2 in the bed.
Yeah, that's and, a few more years away, I think.
Yeah. And then she had to ask once because she's asked like, you know, we have those conversations where you're like, oh, well, you know, it's okay. You're running around the house in underpants, but that's not what, like, we go out with. We don't take pictures, you know, things like that. And just body safety and awareness. And then she asked me, she was like, oh, so why can't I watch the show? I was like, well, you know, it's a little scary. And like, you know, mommy plays a character that has some, like, where she kisses boys and she was like, and you know, it's just some other things you might not want to see yet at this point. And then she was like, are you in your bra and underwear? And I was like, well, yes, I am. She's like, on television in front of everyone? And I was like, well, I know. Luckily, like, nothing's been, none of the bathing suit, all the bathing suits area have been covered with like little things, but you know, but they've all been covered. But did you have a lot of, I'm trying to think like what your romantic scenes.
I have plenty. I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
I've actually never had fully nude scenes, thank God, because I'm just, now that I have kids, I mean, look, never say never. I don't know that anyone wants to see what's going on here anymore. But like, I think about like my son being in high school and like his friends coming over being like, look at your mom's titties. And I just like, I can't, it feels too much for me. It is a lot.
What's funny is I kind of like, I like that it's there because you're, as to what you're saying, like everything's different now. Like my boobs will never look, my 36-year-old boobs will never be what my, you know, perky little 22-year-old boobs were. You know, they were a full little handful,
so
just high as can be, just greeting the sun. Yes. And at least it's memorialized on TV to a certain
That's
extent.
That's true. You can always go back if you're having a particularly rough day. And just, I love that one.
They were there at one point. Yes. Just
amazing.
I also love that I feel like out of all the, like us little vampire blondies made it on all three shows by the end of it.
I know. I'm so sad it's done. I think about it all the time. Like, when you're doing something so consistently for so many years, you think like, oh, I can't wait to have a break. I can't wait to do something different. Or like, I just don't want to travel anymore. I don't want to work all these crazy hours anymore. And then when it's over, you just, like, I realize how good we had it. It was amazing. We had the most amazing almost decade of time, like, playing those characters and living in that world. And, you know, we'll probably never have that again.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
What was the experience going back to Legacies like for you? Because it had been, what was the period of time between playing Rebecca on Originals and then doing it on Legacies?
So I want to say after my last episode of the Originals was 2017, I think. And then maybe it was like a year or two later for Legacies. And then I only ever really did one or two sort of a season. I mean, it was amazing to go back because, like, there's so much of the old crew and the pressure doesn't exist like it did when you are a series regular, right? You just get to go and have fun and pop in and see everyone that you love, and it's this, like, awesome trip down memory lane, and then you go home and you're not, like, exhausted or it's such a different experience. And also I think that's the same with everything. Like, as you get older, you just appreciate everything so much more. Like, I think when I was so young, I was always like looking to the future and what was next and what could I do, and or even, you know, sadly what I was missing. Like when I was in Atlanta, I felt really lonely and I was always thinking about, like, you know, why I miss my family or I miss my boyfriend, or I was just always missing people instead of really like leaning into the experience. And I definitely regret that. Like, I wish I spent more time in the present, but of course, you know, youth is wasted on the young. You don't know that until you're older. And you realize, like, how good you had it.
I know. And also, when it goes on that long, it feels like it's never going to end. It's right. Really hard to kind of picture that end. And at that point, you kind of see everyone else having these like other lives and in other cities and being able to be in, have a sense of control over what they're doing. And that is the one kind of thing. It's funny. It's like, by no means were as actors or anyone who works on a film or television crew a brain surgeon. But there is an element that is very true. I just want to make that statement first before I follow it up with that the one person who I felt like I could kind of relate to a lot on schedule stuff would be my dad, and calling him and speaking with him. And when he was on call, or he'd be coming home from a, you know, and he's a heart surgeon, and he'd come home from like an emergency case and call me and be like, yeah, it was a 17 hour day. And I'd be like, me too, doing very different things. But similar schedules where you're just not in control of, yes.
I used to think that too. My dad's a cardiologist as well. And I used to be like, well, I'm working these crazy hours. I'm literally doing nothing at all in comparison. But like, I felt good about myself that I put in the time. But yeah, I think the thing that I always thought about when I was working so much was like, oh, one day I'm going to be able to like book a dinner in 3 weeks and commit to it. Or I'm going to be able to like, my thing was always like someone's birthday. You would put in the request and you would say like, this is really important to me. It's so-and-so's 40th. Or I can't even imagine what it must have been like having kids, but like my son's third birthday, I really want to be able to make it. I really want to be able to be there. And they just can't guarantee it. And so you miss a lot of like important moments in life because, you know, a schedule requires you to be at work and you have to be there. And so that was the one thing I think that was definitely nice after finishing, like being able to say you'll be somewhere and actually going.
Yeah, I started doing episodes of the originals right after Vampire Wrapped. Like I moved to LA with my family and we were all there. And like, I was like, okay, great. I'm finally here. And we're all under one house. And then I was like, I need to get back to work. I was like, I'm not used to this. And so I got booked on the originals and I did a handful of episodes. And then it just, one of them happened to fall on Thanksgiving week. And they were like, the schedule shifted and they're like, hey, you're not gonna be able to fly home for Thanksgiving. You'll have to be here. And I just remember thinking, what the hell am I doing? Like, I just committed to all these seasons of TV and have missed so many moments. And this is the first time that I was living with my, at the time, husband. First time we were all living together as a blended family. You know, I had a very young child. Florence was only like almost two at that point. And I just was like, I think I need to be here for a little bit. And I kind of took a pause and a breath and really had to think about like, where do I want to be, but also where do I need to be? In your experience, I mean, I remember you and I would have talks about, you know, just wanting children, wanting stability. And did you have a moment like that where you started to think, especially you moved out of LA a lot sooner, wondering like, what does your life look like now?
I think I attached so much of my identity with being an actor and so much of my sense of validation and sense of self was attached to booking jobs and working. And I hadn't built that confidence in myself that my value wasn't derived from whatever show I was on or whatever job I booked or whatever audition I nailed. And so when I got married, it definitely started to shift. I was in like a super, my second marriage, I was in a super healthy relationship for the first time in a long time. And I started to realize, okay, maybe my priorities are shifting a little and maybe I don't need to be constantly chasing. And then when I got pregnant with my son and had my son, it was a massive identity crisis for me because it was everything I'd ever wanted. I'd had this miscarriage, I lost a baby, and so I was desperate for a child after that. And when he was born, you know, I had this overwhelming feeling of love. Then I had crazy postpartum anxiety, and I really struggled with that. And I felt so out of control, and then I wasn't working. And I definitely felt this huge drive, like, I've got to get back to work. I've got to get back to my old self. My old self was working all the time. My old self, you know, felt better and I just didn't know who I was. And then I worked a little here and there and I had a few of those moments like you had where I was like, what am I doing this for? Even just in auditions where I, you know, I did an audition when I was 6 weeks postpartum and I was rocking back and forth in the audition. And I was like, from like rocking a baby and I couldn't stop my body moving. And I was like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? What for? Like, you know, I've worked so many years and we've been lucky enough that, like, we've had a steady career, and this is everything I've ever wanted. And I'm just so attached to my old self and, like, feeling some sense of normalcy that I'm trying to rush back into it. So I definitely took some time after that, and I started to sort of readjust my identity and work in therapy and just myself on, like, okay, my value is not as a mother, as an actress, as this, that, and the other. It's like me and who I am as a person. And I started to get to know me. And then over the last, you know, 4 years now since my son has been born, I've definitely craved going back. But every time the opportunity is, I mean, I've done, you know, guest stars here and there, which are amazing, and I absolutely love them. You know, a week and I get to go back and be with my family. I've craved the longer, steadier jobs, but I know that I'm not willing to sacrifice what I would have to sacrifice to do that. That's time with my kids. And they're just so young. And that's not to say I never will. I love it so much. It's a huge part of me, and I really hope it's there for me one day. I also know that it's been very important for me to still work and do things. So I've just found other avenues to work and feel like self-reliant and feel like I'm making a positive contribution to the world, whether I am or not. But as far as acting goes, I have definitely realized the toll that it takes on your personal life and your family life is not something that really works for me at this moment.
Especially when they're young, because once you, especially, I mean, you know, having a four-year-old, you see how fast it goes. Those early years go so, so fast. And then as they get older, they do need you there, but they also are biologically wired to start craving some sense of independence. And before that time, it's just really hard. And I wonder, like, I feel like it's a very American thing, regardless of industry. It's such an American thing to be like chase. It's even like physicality for women, like the postpartum bod, like bounce back, backwards. And it's such bullshit. I mean, even, you know, at a certain point when you look down and you realize like, oh, I've got this scar from falling here, you know, this is how my body is here and it wasn't there before. Like, it's because of the privilege of just being alive for a long time, and you're never going to go backwards. You only go, you have, like, this is just who you are now. Like, I don't want to be the version of myself before I had children, because I love having children. Like, I love being a mom, and I got so tired of trying to, like, you know, think that I had to compartmentalize this idea, because I'd see some people who are in a position who maybe who like aren't, like, don't have children at this point, and being like, well, I have to hustle like they have to hustle. And it's like, at a certain point, I've got to do bath time. And if they need that audition by tomorrow, and I'm the only one here to do bath time, then I don't know what to tell you. It's not going to work out.
Being able to say no, and I've always sort of been the person who delivered the audition on time or got to the appointment and never said no and did everything. And I realized, like, who for what? The only people that I need to ensure are totally happy and comfortable with my decisions are my husband and my children and me, and that's it. And, you know, as a people pleaser, that's something I struggled with a lot. But it's right now, definitely, like, I want to say until this guy is a few years old, maybe five or something, I know that it's going to demand a lot of time. And, you know, until the opportunity comes up that I can live in my home and be home for my kids and maybe have a more flexible schedule or a job that allows that, I pray that that comes up one day. But until it does, I just don't see myself moving to Albuquerque, New Mexico and flying back and forth and missing holidays and birthdays and stuff like that.
Do you feel like in Australia there's a sense of the rush to get back to work? Like, in so many European countries, it is, you know.
Well, they have amazing maternity leave and sort of assistance for mothers. I mean, I want to say, I'm going to get this wrong probably because I've been gone so long, but I feel like it wasn't uncommon for people to have 6 months. And in America, you know, with small employers, I don't think any is required. And then I think others, it's something like 6 weeks or I don't know the exact number, but I think that it's it's just a different culture. It's one of the reasons I was so excited to move to America, because there were so many opportunities and there was a culture of like, you can do anything, you can be anything, you just have to work really hard and you can achieve it. And I loved that. I loved that, you know, drive. And I loved thinking, okay, I can get somewhere if I keep working hard. I've just realized as I get older, that doesn't always serve you. And it certainly doesn't serve you in pregnancy, postpartum, and motherhood at all.
Yeah, no, at all. At all, at all. I know, I think back, and what's funny is I did have the option. I want to make sure that that's clear. I had the option to not return right away after I gave birth to Florence, which was towards the end of season 7. But I was like, nope, I can come.
I remember that. You wanted to. You went right back after 6 weeks, didn't you?
6 weeks to the day I was back on camera, like a big old dum-dum. Dead inside, like so tired. I was like I'm like standing there. I remember specifically because they got me bigger jeans, which is actually now I tell like every woman who's pregnant for the first time, I'm like, don't try postpartum jean shopping with your old jeans. Go buy a pair of jeans that are like 2 to 3 sizes bigger.
And like, perfect.
Oh my God. Yeah. Just go up. Don't try to go back. You just move forward. And like the only way through is through. That's it.
Yeah.
And I just remember wearing real jeans, but I'm standing there. And I had like a scene with Matt Davis, I think. And I just remember being like, I have bra pad, like I'm leaking out of my boobs. And I have a 6 week old. What am I doing here? Like, you don't get an extra prize. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who am I proving this to? Because I didn't sleep. I was nursing through the night, coming back the next day. I couldn't memorize any lines. Like, I literally
was really difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. That mama brain just like, none of it was working. And I just remember thinking like, what the hell did I just do to myself? And
you
really
made that commitment, right? And so you
know.
Back on it. You said they'd written that and you said like, I want to do it. And so you couldn't then turn around and say, I don't.
I know. And, but it definitely gave me like many thoughts on, especially exactly what you're saying, like having young children and really wanting to be there for their moments. And if you have the ability to do that, you know, I'm fully aware that there are plenty of parents in the world that would love that opportunity and luxury. So I know that that is an opportunity that is not granted to everyone.
I feel guilty about it as well. Because when I say that, you know, I understand that that's not an option for people. And I don't want to sound like, I never want to minimize anyone else's feelings about any particular situation. And that's what I'm constantly thinking about in my book, like don't judge, don't make assumptions, you know. And in this scenario, I was lucky that I'd worked. I was lucky that I didn't have to rush right back. That's not to say that I wasn't going to work in the future. That's not to say that I'm not doing that now. I just, in that moment in time, I had so much work to do with myself and my identity and like finding value in myself outside of what I was doing or achieving. And I think it was important for me to start, kind of like rip the band-aid off and look at that wound and go, why do I only feel good enough if I'm doing something, if I'm working, if I'm on a show or I've booked a movie? Like, why am I not good enough just me?
What was the inciting incident for that kind of like self-discovery? Was it a job that you didn't get, or was it
kind of a mental breakdown, honestly? Like I would cry and cry and cry about what a loser I was.
How old were you? When was this? I'm trying to
right after James. And it was really probably, I would say at worst six. I was in such a crazy bubble the first
James, your
months.
Oldest son. I'm just clarifying for everyone. Yes.
Just trying to survive. And with the postpartum anxiety, you know, I just was trying to keep him alive and not fall apart myself. So I didn't really think that much about work. But then after he was sleeping through the night, after, you know, I figured out his allergies and why he was crying all the time, then that was when like the identity crisis kind of came. And I remember coming home from Whole Foods one day, I'd gone grocery shopping. My mom was there with my baby. And I just dropped the groceries and burst into tears. And I said, like, excuse my French, I'm a fucking loser. I am not doing anything. I don't offer anything. I don't know how to be a mom. I don't know how to be a person. I don't know who I am and I don't like myself. And actually my mom was really awesome at the time and I could see like how hard that was for her to hear that, her daughter say that. But she just said, I know, I felt like that too. and you're just learning. And you're learning who you are, and you'll find it. And I'm here for her. She didn't try and talk me out of it. She didn't try and, you know, tell me I was crazy. Or she just told me, like, yeah, I felt that too. And sometimes, like, you need just a sense of community and people around you to go, you're not alone. Like, we all feel that way. We all have to figure out who we are after we have kids to go, okay, like, this is, like, the start of my journey.
I call it making friends with the feelings.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. First time I lost out on a job I really wanted, this was before I made the decision that I probably wasn't going to, like, travel to the extent that I was before. This was when I was still trying to do it all. I lost out on this job. I tested for it. It was a really long process. And for those who don't know, testing is like you sign the contract, you're right at the end, you're like maybe the last two or three people, and you are so invested in this project. And I remember getting the call that I didn't get it. And I was devastated for like an hour. And then I was like, wait, I get to go home to my baby. Like, I have something that means more to me than any of this. And that was like a real aha moment too, because it was the first time I'd not gotten something or like not succeeded in my eyes. And I knew that there was an amazing alternative.
Yeah. Do you mind if I name what I ask what it is, or because I?
No, it was a show called Heels on Stars Network. Actually, Stephen Amell, who's a fellow CW actor. He was the lead of it. And it was to shoot in Atlanta. And I remember thinking, like, okay, I'm going back. Like, this is going to happen. Like, this is it. You know, I think James must have been six or seven months old, I think. And then, you know, it was obviously meant to be, because right after that I got pregnant with Elle. And she was meant to be here, that girl. So everything happened for a reason.
My version of that was, there was like a sitcom. And I tested for it and went in for like the chemistry, like all the things. And that was like my dream. Like that was, I was like, I just want to get a sitcom that films at CBS Radford and just like, I never have to cry again. I get to just be goofy and funny. And like, and I just was, and I didn't get it. The chemistry read went so bad. Like I just panicked. Like none of my jokes hit, landed. Like the lead actor that was already cast, like, did like nothing. There was zero like rhythm to our comedy chemistry. And I just like went home and was like, that's it. That's all I've ever wanted. And so now it's never going to happen. And this is how I've pictured life going. And now it's all ruined. And, you know, if I've continued to learn anything, it's that every time we think that we have like the full picture of what life is going to look like forever, it usually reminds you that we don't have it figured out. But it took me a while to really lean into doing things that would, one, just sounded really delightful to do. Two, I knew it would be with really kind people. Three, would be really easy for me to be able to be a good mom while doing it. Because I thought, well, what are other friends of mine in the industry? What would they say? What will people think? Are they going to think that I'm like, I just was so caught up in living a life according to how other people would see me. It took me so long to just start living in my own life in as myself.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think the same thing. Now, like if an opportunity comes up to be a guest star on something that I think is really fun, I'm like, great. That's awesome. Like the old me would have been like, oh my gosh, how lame. I've taken 1,000 steps back. I'm, you know, I used to be series regular. Now I'm guest starring on other people, you know, and now I'm just so grateful for any like fun opportunity with fun people. And, you know, the 8-day episode instead of the 9-month gig. And, you know, I really, when I say all this, I get afraid that I'm going to come across as like obnoxious, right? Because I don't want people to think that I just get to decide, you know, it's not like that. Like, there are definitely moments where I wish I were doing things that I am not. And then I feel like I'm hustling for other career opportunities and down career paths that take so much time and effort and really don't see like results. So there's so much like that goes on behind the scenes, aside from just being like, well, I'm just going to take a little time off and be with my kids. And, you know, there's so much more to it, I think.
But I don't hear that at all. I hear it as really realizing, going back to making friends with your feelings, like an element, I think, of also adulthood. You know, you hope you get to a point where you get to become friends with your ego and you get to like really have a much stronger relationship with your ego and sense of self to really make sure that it's not in charge.
And I think that about social media all the time. It's the same thing. I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I thinking so much about the caption? Like, does it really matter? And why would I think that engagement really matters? Like, all of these things, the original purpose of social media was connection, right? So it shouldn't matter whether you post a reel that gets however many views and then triggers more engagement. Like, that whole world to me feels kind of the same, right? Like, is my ego in charge of this? Is my drive to connect with people in charge of this? Like, and as I get older, the more I realize, hey, my ego wrecked so much of my past and I don't want that to be my future. And so I have to sort of like get good with me and I have to put things out in the world that I love and I care about, and what anyone else thinks of it has to not matter.
Yeah, it's very true. And also I just want to remind you, there's also so many people in the world who are stay-at-home parents, and there's nothing, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that too. So it's not,
it's
damned. Oh yes. I agree with that, as well as preschool teachers and nurses and like,
oh my gosh, I think that all the time when I drop my kid off at school, I'm like,
I know.
And you wipe butts every day. I wipe so many butts.
So many little tushies. So many tushies.
And the smells. What heroes?
But that's
they are so cute.
But that is the thing. It's like, it's so easy to get caught up in the like, well, I should like, I want to work, but I also want to stay at home. Like that's an okay thing. You know, both can be true. And there are some people that just want to stay home and have that opportunity and that luxury, or make that choice with a partner or, you know, and then other people who feel the need to work, you know, and that's totally fine. So I think all of it is fine. And I completely relate to that, like, kind of the in between, and it shifts. There are days where I'm just like, I can't imagine missing any of this. And then there are other days where I'm like, okay, I know that they're okay. I also know I have a mortgage and you know, there's like, oh yeah, so that's important. I got to go nurture my mortgage. Like I've got to go feed my mortgage some goldfish, you know.
I always worry that, you know, sometimes actors do interviews. I don't want to name any names because I'm sure it's going to like be problematic if I do. They do interviews where they're like, you know, you don't understand. We have to, it's not actually that much money, or we have to, you know, the ones I'm talking about. There's people who have done that. And you just go, oh, and I know they didn't mean what they were saying, right? But it looks so ridiculous from the outside to complain about something that so many people would kill to do, right? Arguably, it is an unbelievable career. You get to dress up and have fun and like travel the world. It is really awesome. It's just, I think sometimes we talk about the sides that are difficult, like being away from your family and being lonely and working really long hours and missing important, you know, events. And I always want to be so careful not to come across as like ungrateful or not acknowledging that like people work really hard and they work two jobs and they have to. And so it's always a scary thing for me to like tiptoe on because I don't ever want to sound like a dickhead. It's my worst nightmare.
Is that why you prefer scripted podcasts like Evergreen?
Well played. Honestly, that was the best job ever. I got to show up looking like crap. Oh. It didn't matter. No one saw me. And I just got to like speak in a little tiny sound booth for a couple of days. It was done. They're awesome. I get why people love doing like animated films now.
Have you ever done a book? Like, have you ever been like I know there's a name for it.
Audiobook?
Yeah. I've done like two YA books.
Have you?
Yes. And it was so fun. It's like 2 days and you go in and you read it ahead of time. So you like plan out all the characters, except one wanted me to do accents and I do not do accents. Oh, no. And they're like, okay, so this one's kind of Gaelic. And I'm like, you got the wrong. And I was just like, oh no, did you get your coffee? Like, and they're like, you sound like you're having a seizure. Are you okay?
Yeah,
and I'm like, well,
I could never do the different accents, I don't think, in an audiobook. I'd get too confused. Yeah. I think I'd have to read like some, you know, some kind of like nonfiction something.
Yeah.
Where I didn't have to perform it. But that sounds really fun.
That is very fun. Highly recommended. But that is also the fun thing about, you know, being in a very creative industry in which you get to, like, that is a beautiful thing about doing a bunch of like different things. You can work on a show like, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on it right now. Speaking of podcasts, which is also based around murder podcast.
Oh,
is it called Based on a Podcast?
It's called Evergreen. Huh?
Is it called Based on a Podcast?
Oh, the show is called Based on a True Story.
Based on a True Story.
So that's another one of those like really fun small roles that I had that was unreal. Like, it was such an amazing experience. I got to shoot in LA, which is great. I never get to shoot in LA. And, you know, my sister lives there, so I got to see some family. And, you know, I spent like a week on set with really funny people. And then I went home to my kids. Like, that was the dream. And I also think, you know, like a shorter scripted series like that would also be awesome if the opportunity came up in a city that works. But yeah, that was one of those things in the beginning where I was like, oh, am I going to get star in one episode of show? And then after I did it, I was like, thank God. Yeah. That was the most fun I've had in so long.
It's so fun. And you've got your blog. I mean, I feel like I spent my 20s with just such like these blinders on of this is how my life is going to look. This is how it's supposed to look. Part of me wants to blame like the craze of The Secret, because I was like, it can only be this. It can only be this like mental vision board that I have. And if I don't have it, I can only have to commit to it and everything else is a failure. When in reality, I'm like, you don't have to just do one thing. Like when someone's like, oh, so you're just this or you're just that. Like my favorite thing is talking to, specifically, I think is really unique. It happens, it's more often than not than I've spoken to a lot of female writers who are authors to very successful novels and they didn't even start writing until they were in their 40s. Or like women who like picked up decided to try stand up for fun. And then now they're like a local touring stand up comedian in their 50s.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
So what do you say when people ask you, what do you do? What do you say now? Because obviously you have so many different career paths as well.
I usually say right now, I am, if I'm with my children, I go right now, I am keeping these very hilarious, adorable children alive. That is what I'm doing. I usually get like, what are you working on next? And, you know, and all of that. And I just say, I don't know, we'll see, you know? And if they say, you know, oh, I hope to see you in something soon, I go, from your mouth to God's ears. Let's just, you know. But it's...
Who knows? I always have this really hard time answering that question. Most of the time I say an actress. Arguably, I don't really do that anymore. But, like, I have this weird thing about, like, what am I, an influencer? Is that what I say? Am I a mom? I used to say... I'm a washed-up actress. That's what I used to say right when I...
Hey, washed sounds good. I have not washed in days, it feels like, at this point, so...
No, but then I was like, why am I so mean to myself? Why am I saying that? Just because I'm taking time to, like, be a mom, that makes me washed up. So I really had to, like, not be so unkind. This has been my journey for the last... Stop being so goddamn mean to yourself. Like, stop minimizing what you're doing. Stop minimizing what being a mother is, like, it's hard work. And so now I have that same kind of answer. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm mumming right now. Or, you know, I'm writing a little, you know, my blog, I love to write. So, but it's hard to know, like, that's a really hard question to answer. I think
that's when my ego usually creeps in, is when someone says like, oh, and I get this like look from them, like, I immediately go to, they think I'm a failure. It goes to like, it's your grocery store moment where I just want to like, you know, be like, yeah, I'm a loser. But it is a false narrative. And I also know that like, we are in charge of our narratives. I just spent time with friends of mine and I was just in Denver with my kids. And there's this like fantastic couple I just love and adore that I've known for over a decade at this point. And my girlfriend, she and her husband have both had these like incredible careers that are also very, like, he was a professional cyclist and also like a film editor and director. And then she worked as an investigative journalist. And then at a certain point realized she wanted to take this class to study the drawing of botany, like fine art, like flower drawing. And she loved it. And then now she will draw like museum grade type, like floral array. Like, it's insane what she's been able to do. And now she loves children's books. And the way that it's like, it doesn't have to be just this one note thing of like, if we don't stop exploring and if we don't stop, you know, the creative, I think that that's where I get hung up, is when I just stop doing things that make me very uncomfortable and that also make me have fun. Like, even just the week you said, like the week you did on a different show, that you're around different people, like there's an excitement, there's nervousness, and there's just fun. And even if that's in a way of, you know, like I have talked on this podcast that I did, you know, 5 months of hip hop classes. And
oh, you're a good dancer, by the way. I saw you on your Instagram.
Oh, thanks.
I was like, yeah, go, you can sleep about that. Ooh.
All my private hip hop classes really paid off.
I loved it.
But
it's my dream. I want to go and do classes now. I do them in my little like room, my little setup in my bedroom. But I need to go to classes. You inspire me.
It's very fun, and it like opens up like a different little nugget on like how just creativity in any sort of way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it doesn't have to be this one note thing, and it should be evolving. And that's what I love. That's what I see when I've been watching, you know, so many of the, you know, career opportunities that you've taken, but also the career choices that you've made that are within your control, with even your blog and the way you share things on. But that's how I see you doing your marathon. You know, it's like that in itself is like a very big creative, like, I'm sure that opened up a different part of your heart and your soul and just like made an imprint on your life of like your experiences within your life that will impact you more than any sort of IMDb credit.
I think so. It was more, I'm going to set a goal and I'm going to do it no matter what. And it's going to be really hard. It's going to take a long time and I'm going to be really tired and I'm going to want to quit, but I'm not going to quit. And it was amazing. It was the most amazing. And, you know, it was also, I didn't get the time I wanted. And I had trained really hard for a certain time. again, why? I don't know. It's so stupid, but I did. And I, it was also like another lesson in this like acceptance mentality and like, you know, I don't have to freaking win the marathon. Like, I don't have to run a 3.5 hour marathon. I had raised all this money for charity and somehow I was minimizing the result of like getting across the finish line because I missed the 4 hour cutoff by a minute, right? And I just wanted to, I had this like A time, I wanted to run 3.5 hours and my worst time was under 4 hours and I ran like 4 hours and 1 minute. And in my head, like the old me with the ego in control was like, oh God, you failed. Now you have to do another one. And like, I've been able to come to this place where I was like, hold on. I raised $162,000 for Children's Hospital. I showed my kids that you can, if you set your mind to something, you can do it. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, like a lot of days of the week to train. Like, it's okay. And so I think like that's the lesson that I'm like trying to continuously learn as I get older. You know, it's a, you don't have to win. You don't have to be the most, the culture that we're in is like the most successful, the most accolades, the most money. And just like, that's not life. And I think I'm still learning and I'm trying really hard to accept, like, it's enough to just be a good person. Just be nice, be kind, like spread love, do your best to smile at someone at the grocery store, do your best to like, pay it forward, you know, and that's enough.
I feel like you might have just answered it, but I was going to ask, like, I just knowing you and your personality and your heart and how much we've always talked about like kids and loving kids. And even since we've become mothers talking about our children, you know, what would Mama Claire, if Mama Claire was having a conversation with your ego, with the ego Claire, how would Mama Claire calm ego Claire down? What would the advice be?
It's so funny because I just always try and instill in my kids, like above all, just be kind, be nice, ask someone to sit with you. If someone's crying, make sure they're okay. And I think, you know, like if I'm encouraging my children to treat other people like that, why on earth am I not treating myself like that? Like, why am I so mean to myself? Why am I so hard on myself? Why do I feel guilty all the time because I'm not doing enough? I'm not a good enough mother. I'm not doing enough for my career. And so, honestly, it's like a daily exercise in kindness and self-compassion. And it's not something that I've really ever had. And I'm getting there. I really am. I hope in the next decade of my life, maybe by the time I'm 45, I won't have any of this like shit that I'm carrying with me anymore. But it's a journey. And Mama Claire would say to me, like, stop that. Stop the rat race. Stop trying so hard to be everything for everyone. Stop feeling guilty. Just, like, be kind and the rest doesn't matter.
Well, you are so kind to come and hang out with us on this podcast. And before,
I'm so happy I got to talk to you.
I know. And we're going to hang out in real life. I'm so jealous you're in Aspen, by the way. I love Aspen in the summertime. It is. I've seen you post about how like you almost prefer it then than winter. And I agree. It is so visually just gorgeous. It's beautiful.
I woke up this morning and went for a run before my kids woke up. And I was looking around, I was like, I don't understand how this place exists. Like, it's just so glorious and the air is so fresh. And like, I even saw a baby bear on my run and I was like, look at that cute little bear, instead of like running away in tears. So I'm a mountain person now. I gotta tell
you. I'm like, baby bear means mama bear. Do you have your bear spray? And then that's when my psycho type A personality is like, can I send you bear spray? I'll send you bear spray.
I ordered some, don't worry.
Okay, good. I love having a canister of bear spray on me as if I'm going to know how to use it and defend myself against a bear. But well, before I let you go, I like to do a little cool down, a little 5 cool down questions with my guests. Just the first thing that pops into your head. Claire, what is something that you like?
What is something that I like? Cheese.
What kind of cheese?
I'm a big fan of string cheese.
Okay.
But I also like the manchego with like a big jam on a cracker.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that like dairy messes with me, but I'm never giving it up. So cheese.
Oh yeah, no, I don't like at this point. My blood I think is made of iced coffee, like a Sauvignon Blanc, and like the ice cube water from my iced coffee, and that's it at this point. That's how I'm getting through the day.
Yeah.
What is something that you know?
Can you believe I just said cheese over my children?
No, because I would have told you it can't be your children. I'm glad you did. And you know what? Cheese is freaking awesome. And I know that your children are awesome.
You're a terrible person. Manchego over cheese.
No, but I love that you led with string cheese. So I even respect that more.
It's a cute part of my life.
Okay, what is something that you know?
This too shall pass.
Something that you hate?
People who don't give courtesy waves when you let them in.
Yes.
Which is not what happens in Aspen. Everyone gives a courtesy wave. So I think that needs looking for
You just look in your little mirror and just wave your... That's it.
I did a triple courtesy wave, like in case they haven't...
Yeah.
Seen it out the window.
Mm-hmm. Just then a foot out the window too, just in case.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah. Maybe a little flash, just like make sure that they have all the courtesy.
Thank you so much.
What is something that you love that is not your children or your partner or any person? Like, what's something you love?
Oh, me. Love Island. The UK show Love Island. Mm-hmm. Is that why can I not think of like elevated answers?
No, these are great answers. These are great answers.
You know, I love running. Running. Love Island and running.
Okay, and then what is a quirky little fact about you?
Quirky little fact about me. I won't do it now because I'm going to blow your ears out, but I'm really good at catcalling.
What do you mean catcall? Like hubba hubba? Like...
No, not like that. The whistle, you know? Like,
oh. I was like a construction worker who's just there catcalling people. Are you good at harassing people on the street?
Very. I'm not.
Like, hey, you want some string cheese?
Anyone. You can hear my whistle in Jupiter. Like, it is, it goes a very long way.
I wish I knew how to do that. I'm not a good whistler. So there we go. Yeah. Next time we hang out, that's great. What.
Just perfect. Catcalling all over Nashville. Yeah.
And I'll teach you how to do the other catcalling. You can just do the whistling, and I'll be like, hubba, hubba.
We're not going to get
courtesy anyone. Wave.
The police are going to get called on us.
Yeah.
It's too freaky mom trying to pick up.
Hey, Nashville's like Bachelorette City, so I feel like they're used to there. It's well, we would fit in with the Woo Girls so well, which will have to happen one day. But anyway, Claire, thank you for hanging out with me. So I just miss you and adore you. And I really am excited for you. Like, congratulations, baby number 3.
Thank you.
A Super Bloom podcast is hosted by me, Candace King, produced by Melissa DeMonts and Diamond Imprint Productions, edited by Diane Kang, post-production sound by Coco Lawrence, and advertising partnership with Acast.